Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, I am so very thankful for the love that you have for me and the love that you have for each one of us as we deal with so many issues in life. Yes, as we learn to love you, Heavenly Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, for the love that you give us and we love our neighbors. Lord, thank you. And thank you for the gift of salvation that you offer. Amen. And now as we live, we learn to balance so many things just going through life. We have love, we have pain, we have justice and injustice. So many things that are confronting us either emotionally or in a real world sense. We learn about wisdom as we go through life. And we learn to protect ourselves in our heart, our mind, and our emotions. We learn to protect our body. And we learn to prepare for uncertainties in life. And we're thankful for the understanding that we have. We're thankful for the counsel of wise people, either pastors or elders or just people we've run into. Lord, thank you for that too, because of all the thanks we have and the compassion that people have for us and we have for others. We thank you for the love that there is. And as we live, we occasionally choose which path that we take, whether it be towards our Lord God or away from God and looking into the world. Well, we have choices, don't we? And sometimes the choices are all about what we want. And sometimes the choices are for the concern of others. That's just life as we go through life. We choose to pursue the world or pursue Jesus and God. Well, every day we make choices that bring us closer to God or closer to the world. And we have different opinions. Well, let's remember that love part as we search for the truth of this world and what matters. God matters. God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. The other day I saw a t-shirt and it read, "Heaven is my home. I'm just here recruiting." And I don't know, I just like that. Well, we have battles all over the place. Sometimes they are so obvious between good and evil, or we might say God and Satan. There are battles. Moment by moment, we choose how to live with our mind, will, and emotions. Which side are we going to stand with? Well, we live and we learn what we value, don't we? We value life, and sometimes we value other things, too. It's important to have understanding that we get from the Bible. We can get understanding from history books, too. And all these things guide us as we go through life. I'm thinking of Proverbs 4:33 that talks about guard your heart. And our heart communicates with our mind, and it guides us as to how we go through life. Life with Christ or life with the world, we make our choices. I know we have to guard our thoughts and our mind, and I remember having thoughts when they were ungodly, I would actually speak words to my thoughts and say, "If you are not of God, leave me in the name of Jesus." And that is one way that I dealt with my thoughts that would meander. They would wander away from Jesus. And maybe that's something we need to do, is say, "Thoughts, leave me in Jesus' name." So, we depend on God as we go through life. And yes, to be compassionate, kind, and loving too. Righteous and holy. All of it. So remember Jesus as you are going through life to be guided by Scripture. I was thinking of Matthew 5:17, where Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it." And then Jesus continues and says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth shall pass, not one jot nor tittle of the law shall pass." And so we get to try to understand what is meant by this and by that and by the commandments, and how are we going to live faithful to God? How are we going to show them and teach them to others? Because that is also what we are called to do, is preach the good news of the gospel and the kingdom of heaven. So, as we go through life, we want our life to demonstrate that we are faithful to God, Jesus, as we live. And that will bring us eternal consequences. And what happens throughout eternity? We want to declare ourselves followers of Jesus Christ with our thoughts and our actions, and not just declare it, but actually have the words that we speak be appropriate for that. And I know that there's many people who have a different role in the kingdom of God. Some of them are kind and will show their kindness. Some of them will be evangelists, and some of them will be simply loyal to the kingdom of God. And if we're not, well, I can't help but think of the story of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25, where the 10 virgins are believing that they are belonging to God, but their preparations for 5 of them are not adequate. And for 5 of them, they are adequate. So that is also a part of being faithful to the kingdom of God, that we are a profitable servant, somebody who serves the kingdom of God. Otherwise, the unprofitable servants, they are cast into outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I know there's pastors who want to tell you they can tell the difference and if you're saved or not saved. I really think that we want to have our personal relation with Jesus Christ, and that is what we see and understand. And there are hard things in the Bible, consequences. And I think of chapter 18 of Revelation, where it talks about, the tribulation and things that will happen with great difficulty upon the earth. And people just don't want to have anything to do with that. They want a gentle God who helps people get along, and that is a part of God, but God is also a God who judges and righteously. And this is a part of what we deal with as believers also. We want to turn to Jesus and ask for understanding of Scripture and then live with godly thought, words, and actions. As the world is full of people who deny God, and we want to remember that we are of God, and so we want to live a life that reflects God. I think of 2 Timothy 3:5, where it says there are people who deny God and they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God. So we want to be careful that our orientation is to be close to God and following or obedient to God, and to not have that earthly orientation where we might be thinking of our own self all the time. Of course, we get to understand what is right and profitable according to Scripture, and we just want to make sure that we are following God and not our own ideas. Because there are plenty of problems here on earth. There are wars and rumors of war and bad behavior of every sort. So we want to treasure our personal encounter with Jesus and avoid the encounters that are evil on earth, the sinful and evil encounters. Often enough, we find people who do not understand this and they live according to their own understanding. And that can be very ungodly. I think back about the people who have suffered in life. It's in history. We find there's so many people who have behaved badly, who have caused other people to suffer or to have violence done to them. So much pain and so much suffering. And we want to be living a life that is reflecting God and compassion and still be wise so that we avoid the trouble that there could be. And we want to be wise so that we can counsel other people to avoid the trouble that there just could be. And we see this as we go through life. We see that there is good and evil all around. And how do we protect ourselves from that evil? Well, we observe, we look around, and we see how to avoid evil, avoid trouble. And that is the wisdom we can get as we go through a life. We know that God is a judge and a righteous judge, and of course we know that we can accept his perfect judgment because it is perfect. And that just makes us want to comply with God, to live a life that is lived according to his will, not according to the world's standards, but to live a good life according to God's heavenly standard. And we all want to go to heaven and not hell, so we make sure that we are following a good and godly pattern. And that was given to us by Jesus. It is written in Scripture, the life that Jesus had. And we learn according to our understanding and how to live in a good and godly way. I do know there are people who would say that everyone goes to heaven. They might cite 2 Peter 3:9 that says, God is not willing that any should perish. Now, this is something which someone could say, God says no one will perish, but that's not what it says. It says he's not willing that other people would perish. That means that they have the opportunity to accept Jesus. So we have the truth presented, and then we live according to what we believe. And that makes it correct that he's not willing for any to perish, because he gives us a chance to accept or reject Jesus and his way of life. That's because we are free. People have freedom. We have free will. Now, this is very different from the angels. The angels are obedient. And if they're not obedient, they left heaven with Lucifer. But now we have freedom. And we are free to obey or disobey God and Jesus. So we choose. What do we want to do? Do we want to be fit for heaven and obedient to God? Or do we want to choose our own path? And that path no doubt leads away from God. Matthew 17, 13 and 14 talks about the road to hell being broad and that it has a wide gate because many choose that way. But the road to in eternally heavenly life is a narrow road, and it is difficult, and few there be that find it. So let us make that choice of difficult life and realize that it takes an understanding and a discipline to live the life that God would have us live. Live that life and be rewarded with an eternity in heaven and avoid eternity in hell. So that's the choice we make. I have heard a pastor sometime say that so-and-so prayed and they've been saved. But I think it's a matter of are we obedient to God, Jesus? Well, I've heard also the pastor say, now you're saved. But that's the pastor speaking. It's not Jesus who is our judge. So make sure that you are born again, according to John 3:3. Do you know what born again it is? It means to have that new godly direction and lifestyle and thinking. But ask God if you don't understand it, and be listening for what God has to tell you about being born again. It's in the Bible, but sometime our prayer will help us understand, or our prayer might bring somebody to us who can explain it to us so that we can understand it. That is the goal. We want to see the kingdom of God, and to do that, we must be born again. John 3:3. So belong to Jesus, and be sure that you are saved according to what the Bible says, through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. The world can be quite distracting. Yep, we all know that. We all know that there are troubles, there are emotional upsets, there are things that go on with jobs and the people around us. And sometimes it is not at all easy. And sometimes we have to pray to get through the times that are confronting us. So remember, yes, pray. Pray for your strength to get you through life and living in a godly way. Now, I know there's been plenty of times in my life when I should have prayed and paused and then listened to what God would say. So I know that from my own experience, we often ignore the voice of God or the sense that God would put into our spirit so that we will be obedient to the will of God. Well, that's what goes on when we live in the world. It's not always easy, and plenty of things that are worldly grab our attention, and sometimes they're personal or emotional matters, and sometimes there's business or even national and international concerns. They just grab our attention, and we have to be mindful to keep our thoughts and orientation godly. You could even say theological. because that can be a part of it too. But we want to be careful for our thoughts to stay with that which is of Jesus. Sometimes we think about Bible things, the people in the Bible, or the apostles in the Bible, and there are issues that come up, and we can understand them even today. And today there are discussions about salvation or about grace or about good works. And somehow, when we go through life, we get to look at all these things and figure out how we deal with all of it. I know it's very popular to think about the timing of the rapture today. And there's a lot of disagreement about when it is and what it's about. There are people who even prophesy about it. And just make sure that whatever you're thinking about any of these matters, that you have a biblical point of view. So make sure the Bible supports what it is that you are concluding about all of it. And a lot of times there is not a real thought. It's a little bit complicated. So sometime we listen to just plain people. Sometime we listen to pastors. And we learn a little bit more all the time. I know last week I was listening to David Wilkerson when he was in his New York City Times Square church. I think that broadcast was from 2014. But he was talking about, that he had a gift of prophecy for that message in his sermon. And he spoke about that and said he did not always have that spirit of prophecy, but that day he was. And he was saying that in his message that there would be a time coming to the United States that there would be a cataclysmic event and God would bring fire and a time of great shaking. And then in 1 hour, everything would change. Oh, that was the name of his sermon. In 1 hour, everything would change. And of course, I think about Revelation chapter 18, where it says, in an hour, everything will change. Now, the Old Testament also has themes like that. It reminds me of Isaiah 24, where it says, this is apparently a quick judgment too, where the inhabitants of the earth would be scattered as God turns the earth upside down and the inhabitants were burned. Or maybe the earth is dissolved. It's all these things. The themes are similar for Old Testament and New. There is great similarity running in the themes of the Bible. And the similarities we can understand and apply to our life. Oh, another similarity is Isaiah 43, where there is God's promise to protect his people. And then sudden destructions come. Oh, that's 1 Thessalonians 5:3, where sudden destruction comes upon the earth. So there are these themes that we can learn from the Bible and try to understand how we should live as we go through life. We know that there are dangers and difficulties in life, and they may suddenly come upon us. There's many verses in the Bible that talk about dangers coming upon us suddenly, and therefore we understand that it is reasonable to take steps to protect ourselves. And yes, God will protect us also one way or another, but it doesn't mean that we should not do things that protect us. And we know that from history. We can say from Bible history, or we can say from the history textbooks. We know in history there have been dangers, including famine and violence and war. And so we want to protect ourselves from those dangers. There are some things that we can do and some things that we leave up to God to do. And therefore, we live with a practical understanding and a personal, spiritual understanding about what the Bible says for protection. And yet, there are things that we do. Just like Joseph in Egypt, he took steps to protect the people. He stored up the 7 years of grains and corn, wheat and other things. So we know this is a biblical pattern also for people to be wise and store up. All sorts of things happen in history, both biblical history and human history. So we want to certainly pray for peace, but we also want to be protecting of what we have. After all, we do not want to hurt, and we don't want the people we love to be hurt. So we will take steps of preparedness as best we know how. The Bible does tell us this history, and the history books tell us about the history of all sorts of things happening in the past and in the future, that there will be famine and earthquakes and uncertain times, including war and pestilence. So knowing that there are these things that will come, and that there are natural disasters as well, I mean, we see them from time to time around us in this world. In 2023, there was a hurricane in Puerto Rico. And so there was a combination of destruction and preparedness things that the people took. Part of it was God helping the people, and part of it was man helping people with their supplies. I remember there were 19,000 cases of water that were delivered to Puerto Rico after that hurricane, and that was so the people could have good, healthy water and not contaminated water. And that 19,000 cases of donated water was left sitting in a warehouse and not distributed after a year. So it's, again, something that man plays a part and God plays a part. And I don't mean I have an answer for that. I just mean I know that there are the two parts that both are a part of our healthy life and survival. As we go through life, there are often two sides of a position, two sides of an argument. Yes, for the people who would prepare for a hurricane, or even like now. Now there is anti-American forces in the United States and pro-American forces in the United States. And somehow we have to choose what we understand and what we can do. Are we going to support order, or are we going to allow chaos and poverty to reign in America? I see the direction it's going, and it certainly does not look good to me. I hope that we are going to re-examine the vision of America's founding fathers and support that view. And for the view of the founding fathers, we also know that there was a strong support of Christianity, people going to church, people seeking godliness and Christ. The Christian fundamentals, they did exist in the early days of our republic, and we want them to continue to thrive and exist today. So here we are in the midst of forces that don't agree in America. It's a conflict. And a part of that conflict is the people and the forces that want to divide and conquer America. And a part of that is to divide and conquer the churches in America. And we want to cling to the righteousness of Jesus Christ so that we can recover the freedoms and the responsibility that we will have to bring prosperity to our land again. But we have a part to play. Yes, God has a part to play too. But we have to do what we can do to bring that about. And I think our founding fathers are a good example of what they can do, what they did do, and what we can do. So hurricane in Puerto Rico was certainly a serious thing. It shows what can happen to a land or a country that does not take precautions, does not take preparedness steps. Now, all of these things can happen today in America as well. Any country we can have problems with. The systems can fail, whether they are financial systems or utility systems like electricity. And I think of, again, that Puerto Rico hurricane where after a year, people could only have electricity for 3 hours a day. That was all their system would supply. When before the hurricane, they had electricity all the time. And now there's people all over the world who want a regular supply of food and electricity or gasoline and water and utilities. And somehow we have to provide some of that for ourselves. And so it's a combination of what happens when we obey God and we have care for our neighbors and love for our neighbors. And one of the things that's going on today is great concern about our economic system. We have a great concern for our economic system, which includes money, and the banking system and the currency of our nation to stay stable. Now, we see inflation is causing some of the problems, and the inflation is going anywhere from 5 to 25% a year, and that's kind of a lot for the United States, but other countries today are having 100 or even 200% of inflation. That happens every year. Oh, there are countries like Zimbabwe and Argentina and Venezuela, I said that. So all these smaller countries are still having that instability of having the value of their currency decline every year. Each and every year it declines, partly because of irresponsible economic decisions and partly from a central bank that continues to print currency. So we certainly want to have our currency remain stable in the United States. But there are a lot of people, financial people, who warn that our country cannot stay stable with the debt that we have. Even the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank are saying, America, look out, because what you're doing is going to cause the dollar to fall, just like other countries have had happen. Their currencies have crashed, and that means our buying power will disappear, sometimes gradually and sometimes quickly. Just think, if we had 200% inflation, then what we had 1 year would buy $100 worth of goods, but the next year, maybe not even $50 of goods could you buy with that same money. It's something that is going on in the world, and we can understand this pattern and avoid the chaos and violence that would, it's just going around the world. It's normal for many places, but we do not want to have it happen in America. So part of it we can do something about, and part of it we can't. If we have that kind of inflation, we can buy things that will hold their value. And if we have an investment, that would be to buy things that hold their value in an inflationary environment. Now there's so many people that are talking about stagflation, where some things go up and some things go down in price and in value. And so that also means that the economy is uncertain, with some segments of the economy going up and some segments of the economy going down. That is what many financial people are predicting for America now. And that is why some of the people are understanding that it will make people angry and upset to find out that what they expected in America is no longer available. And a part of what that leads to is anger. Anger that turns into violence. And this is a question about what America will see in the future. So if there were going to be instability in America, what would we do? How would we deal with it? Instability brings violence, anger, violence, and uncertainty for what to do. Now, America still has many resources, and by the way, that is why there are countries that would want to take over America, to take the natural resources out of America, to steal them away and have a military force that would be in the United States and allow the invading country to steal any of the natural resources that they want. This has been going on for all time, always in history. There has been a practice that invaders would invade, and they would take over a country and take whatever they wanted. Almost always that means the natural resources. Now, we know that's true from history, but in America, we have had a great deal of stability because of our military that has protected the country. But there are things that are changing drastically in America, and we know that we might have to fight to keep what we have. It would be a struggle if we ever had to, but we should be aware that is something that could go on at any time. After all, we live in a real world, not just a world of ideals where everything can stay the same. And yes, we have those hopes, those wishes, and those dreams, but we still have to act with wisdom to preserve the freedoms that we have. We live in the real world, and the real world is full of force and violence. And that's a fact. There are people and powers that would dominate another country, and we know that that's true, and we have examples of it all over in the world, and some of them are because of the martyrs in the world who say, deny Jesus or we're going to kill you, and they take the death. Now, death happens all over the world, and just now, there in Iran, there was a popular musician who was a rapper named Toomaj Salehi, and he was sentenced to death by hanging because of his song that supported an anti-hijab movement in Iran. That's the state of some of the world, where they are going to dictate to you how to behave and what clothes to wear. And if you don't agree, they're going to hang you by the neck until dead, just like what happened to that musician, that rapper, Toomaj Salehi. And so we know this is going on, and we want to preserve the freedom that we enjoy in the United States. There are governments all over the world that want to tell you exactly what to do. Let us enjoy the freedom we have and support the freedom and discipline that we have with responsible behavior. Now, there's lots of dictators in the world, and I'm thinking of Russia, where there's the President Putin, and he wants order in his world, too. And he is saying that if you're going to be violent, we're going to put you down, we're going to kill you. And that has happened. Oh, there was a Muslim uprising in Moscow. Oh, I guess that was last month. And so Putin, he was a law and order president, and he said, we're going to get these guys because they're causing chaos in society. And that's what he did. So we can know the character of certain powerful people in the world. Yes, like Putin of Russia, and yes, like Xi of China. And we know the character that's going on, so we know there can be problems that are going to come up because of who they are and what they believe. We in the West get closer and closer to a conflict, yes, with Russia and yes, with China, because we keep supporting the NATO forces that are getting closer and closer to Russia. And Russia's Putin says, you can't do that, or we're going to fight back. And right now, Russia's nuclear forces are on high alert. They've been like that for a couple of months now. It is an indicator. It doesn't mean we're going to have violence, but we sure better know that it could happen. And it could happen very quickly, very shortly. And we don't know the timing of any of this, but we certainly know it can happen, so let's get a little bit prepared so that we can live, even if there is conflict in our world or in our nation, or if the food is cut off, or if the medicine is cut off. Let's get a little prepared. Yes, we can have supplies in a storehouse, but we can also learn how to grow food and find a substitute for drugs, or a substitute by having a healthy lifestyle. And that is just what we would do. And sometime we might have to accept death. And that's another part of life. Death happens, and sometimes it will happen to us. So we have a lot of movements and people who want to have ideals upheld. And if the ideals are not upheld, they are willing to demonstrate or even to go through the streets and cause damage, like some of the movements do. Sometimes they're student movements, and sometimes they're Black Lives Matters movements, and sometimes all sorts of things. I remember in the 70s, there were mass demonstrations in London. Yeah, I was there. I saw them. And sometimes there were violence, and they were certainly orchestrated. You heard about that afterwards when the people who were provoking violence would say, this is what happened, and they would orchestrate the marches to, for instance, have the women with baby carriages in the front. And that way, if the police moved in and caused violence upon the women with baby carriages, it would look really bad to the public. Well, we have all these movements going on even in recent years. And we see them, yeah, there was the ones in London. Yes, this in the United States. Yes, there was ones in South Africa and Rhodesia. And we see what has happened in different parts of communist Europe. All these things have happened. I've seen the things going on as a history guy, and also because I have traveled a lot and seen what has happened under a socialist system or under a communist system. And I've had lots of people who I've known over the years who came from those certain countries that were communist or socialist, and they tell you the stories. And besides, I've been to them too, a lot of them, in many continents. And I want to preserve the freedoms that we have in United States of America. There are people who are very concerned about the drums of war that are beating. They see that there could be a war in other countries. They say that there could be a nuclear exchange. And we know that that's true. And we also know that it could be biblical if there was a nuclear war even. There are passages that say that the earth will be destroyed by heat. And that fits in very well with a nuclear exchange. Even though we don't know quite for sure that that's what it means, we know that it could be. There are verses that point to this and that, and we try to have understanding as we pray to God and ask Him for understanding. We know that there are people here in the United States that are agitating, and they even want a revolution and the old government system to be destroyed and for a new government system to be in place. Often enough, they think they are going to be a part of that government system, the new one, and so they want the old system destroyed so they can get power and authority to do what ideas they think are right for the new society that they are going to create. This has always been a way of life for communist countries like Cuba. Oh, and I think of Chairman Mao Zedong in China, and he said, political power comes out of the barrel of a gun. And all this means is the struggle that could go on could become violent, just like the protests that often turn violent also. And what we can do is we can stand strong for Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and follow the principles of the Bible as we worship God, and love our neighbor, the principles that we want to follow as we have a basic understanding, sure, of Bible history, sure, of the Bible, and also of worldly history. The parallels that go on are so strong, so notable, that we can learn how to live by the principles of the Bible, and we see it repeating in historical times too, that there will be conflict and war and famine and suffering. And so it also happens that there would be military invasions going on. Sometimes there would be a quick, lightning-fast military invasion, and sometimes there would be a slow but steady invasion or encroachment into the general population. And that is going on with people coming into the United States across our borders. We are having a slow but continuous encroachment on our general population that is affecting the laws and customs that are established in the United States, as the United States population is indeed targeted. And so let us be a part of maintaining our Christian culture. There are people who want change, and the change is going on. We have the United Nations that is often wanting change. Right now, there's the World Health Organization in the United Nations that are calling for a pandemic accord. And that pandemic accord would define a pandemic according to their own determination. And that would enable them, the World Health Organization, to require a vaccine or a travel passport, or would require isolation or even an isolation camp. It would also authorize them to monitor social media so that no misinformation would be allowed. All these things are taking place right now. It is in the works, and we want to stand up for the freedom that we have through our Bill of Rights and our Constitution. And this is something which we have to stand up, or it will be lost. That's something we want to do. Stand up for the freedoms that we have and tell our representatives that are giving away our freedoms and in many ways our country, giving away our money to support foreign wars and foreign regimes that are ungodly and unchristian. All these things are going on, and somehow we have to get a voice. We have to be heard by our representatives, because our representatives are doing things that are causing the destruction of America by overspending, by printing money that has no basis, by giving away the resources of the United States, and that includes the Strategic Petroleum Reserve that the president has sold for a cheap rate to other countries. And the Strategic Petroleum Reserve is now practically empty. I've heard that it's caving in because we took all the oil out. Now, I can't say that I know that, but I've heard it. So it's a matter of us doing things that are wisdom, wise, to protect our own selves, our people, and our nation. And somehow, our representatives are not protecting the people of this nation. It doesn't seem that it will go well in the future. And that's a part of the preparation that we can do. We can do the preparation to make sure that we are going to stay alive, to tell others about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then we use wisdom. We use wisdom, like Proverbs 22:3 says, that the prudent, wise man sees evil coming and steps out of its way, avoids the trouble. So we can do that by taking steps of preparedness. It might be water, food, and warmth. It might be Bibles and law books. There's many ways to prepare, to learn what we need to learn to protect ourselves. We will all have a different way, and we will be a community to look after each other. A community is important. So we have things coming up that could bring great troubles. Some say they will come before the next election. And it's something that we can do to have a little preparedness for, just in case we don't have gas or groceries or utilities or electricity or banking. And it's something which could suddenly happen if we were to have a coronal mass ejection or terrorism upon our communication grid or our electrical grid. That's already going on, and we have done a lot to protect ourselves. But there are many companies who have paid millions of dollars to, I guess you'd call them hackers, hackers who got into their system and will not let them access what a normal business would have access to. So these are all things that we know could happen in the future because they're happening in these days. So be prepared. Prepare while you are able, and that is today. If you'd like to listen to a past broadcast, go to www.christtoday.org. Oh, look up, it says John Stephenson, and you have to click on that Christ Today, because there are different ones. So if you have a letter or a donation that you'd like to send me, please do. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. We want to maintain our family and our community, and all of them, including the pastors and the people we know and love, need prayer. We need to have prayer for the missionaries, for the people that are around us. So remember to pray for other people. And God bless you, and take preparedness steps now while you are able. God bless you.